Sometimes something that's supposed to be so easy is so hard. Every Easter, I am in charge of coloring the Easter eggs.
Oh.
I know. And usually I enjoy it because the girls enjoy it, but it's happened a few times where I've undercooked the hard-boiled eggs.
I just don't understand.
I don't understand either. I follow the directions to a T. I've tried so many different directions, and for some reason, it's been multiple times where my mom goes to, like, crack the egg and eat it at the table because she loves hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
It's undercooked, and she is so mad at me and devastated and wondering what is wrong with me that I can't hard boil an egg.
I mean, can't you just add 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Because then you overcook it and it gets the ring, the black ring.
Oh.
Oh, gosh. So I found this tutorial that I'm really hopeful for.
Here's how to make a hard boiled egg with a firm white, velvety yolk, no green ring, and a shell that's easy to peel.
I mean, that's what everybody wants, is a shell that's easy to peel, velvety. You don't want it to be like that green or that black ring inside. You don't want that.
You know, I've heard people with a million different theories as to how it is that you get it so that the shell comes off easy.
Mm-hmm.
All you'll need is a pot with a tight-fitting lid, a timer, and, of course, water and eggs.
Yeah, I have all those things. Check. Yeah, you know?
If it was only that easy.
Take your eggs, place them in the pot, and pour in enough cold water so that your eggs are covered by about an inch. Now turn on the burner.
So I've done the different theories where you let the water boil first,
yeah,
and then you lower the eggs inside. That's what Gordon Ramsay told me to do.
Okay.
Then I've tried this, too, where you put the eggs in first with the water 1 inch above it, and you let the water boil.
Okay.
And I've screwed up both of those ways so I'm not really sure.
Is there another way or no?
I don't know. I have
no
idea.
While you wait for the water to boil, prepare an ice bath.
An ice bath?
Yes.
What kind of bougie hard-boiled eggs are these?
So this is a thing that my wife does, and it's same thing. She was very upset with different things before. To get them to peel, you got to do the ice bath.
Once the water in the pot comes to a full rolling boil, cover the pot tightly with the lid and remove it from the heat. Immediately set your timer for 10 minutes.
All right, so now they're boiling. I take it off, and I leave it there for 10 minutes. The timer goes off. Ding, ding, ding.
When the timer is up, transfer the eggs to the ice bath to halt the cooking process. Once the eggs have cooled, they're ready to peel and enjoy.
They don't crack when they're in the ice bath?
No, because that's the 10 minutes to bring it down, basically. You know, here's the thing. When you peel an egg, like, cleanly in one shot with no egg under your finger.
It's like ASMR. It's so satisfying.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? You just, the rest of your day is going to be okay.
Magical. But, unfortunately, that's never going to happen. I'm going to try this, and I'll report back next week on what happened, and I'll film the whole thing. I don't have a lot of hope for me.
Good luck.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Here we go. Three news stories. Number one, overweight alligator put on a diet.
Oh.
Number two, dog digs up unexploded military weapon.
Dogs get into stuff, man.
And number three, man that changed his name to literally anybody else is now running for president.
Oh, I hope he does well. Imagine the write-in on that. I'm going to go with the alligators, though.
All right. So it's three news stories. Raven picks which one. It's all about the alligator today. An overweight alligator found living behind a former Coca-Cola plant was captured, relocated, and is now on a diet to shed some of its 400 pounds.
Wow.
Here's people talking about it.
All the kids know there's a gator there. Don't feed them. Don't mess with them. You know, I don't even allow them over here.
I just hope nobody don't, you know, jump the fence or it don't come out and somebody get attacked.
I just like the idea that the alligator has its own area and everyone should just know, like, don't mess with it. And if the kids go there, the kids go.
Yeah.
That's their fault.
I mean, when are we going to stop body shaming? All right.
Well,
so we're looking out the window and what? We're looking up the BMI of alligators.
It's
like
true.
That doesn't feel right.
This is the the Croc Encounters director talking about the plan to get this alligator slim again.
That's a little heavy for that animal. The trapper caught the alligator and brought him over. It really isn't far away, probably 3-4 miles away. All of our alligators get a mix of pelleted diet. There's a diet made by Missouri. That's the Purina company that's made just for alligators and crocodiles.
Oh.
We feed a lot of that. We also feed fish. We also feed chicken. So we'll do that on a regular basis. And hopefully with time, he'll slender down a little bit.
Pretty soon, they're going to have Ozempic for alligators. It'll cost $7,000 a month.
What's
it'll
it
be
look
well
like?
Worth it.
What's it look like to put him on a treadmill? What I mean,
an alligator? It would have to be a very wide treadmill.
Yeah,
and you know, and it would go very slowly. But here's the thing, I was thinking about it. If I want animals to be fat, alligators are the ones I want to be fat. They need to slow down. They're fast.
I mean, in the water, I'm not sure that's going to do anything for you. In an empty parking lot or wherever it was, I heard that this was like an old Coca-Cola factory place or something.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
soda will give you a lot of extra weight.
Do you think this? You think this alligator is just drinking the soda over there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened.
You know, we call our dog Fatty Pants. It started with my 5-year-old. She started calling Lila Bear, our rescue. She's like, Lila, you're such a fatty pants, because Lila literally lives to eat, right? And she's now getting a little bit of a, she's getting a waddle. She's getting up there.
Okay.
So I was thinking, I'm like, oh, maybe I should put her on this alligator diet. But also, three animals that I want to be pretty fat so I can slow them down.
Go.
One, alligators.
Okay.
Yep.
Got that one.
Two, sharks. Sharks, if they were fatter, I feel like harder to get you in the water. You hear about a lot of shark attacks. Maybe they're getting too lean and too built.
Again, I'm not sure that that's how it works in the water, but okay. I mean, slower would be good either way.
Three, Bigfoot. Bigfoot, whenever you see photos, looks real kind of jacked. If we could put like 30, 40, 60, 80 pounds on Bigfoot, we could finally be able to capture him.
I mean, if we could really get Bigfoot to be truly obese, we could finally get some video.
I know.
He's not going to be able to run away.
I know.
He's not going to be jogging up and down these mountains.
Think about every time you see video footage of Bigfoot. He looks pretty good, right?
Right.
Yes.
What if he was in a lounger, just sitting around waiting for delivery? Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Observations of things that drive you crazy. What are they? 1-800-330-9999. Brian, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you just quit your job by not showing up anymore, that's all I need to know about you. I work in a restaurant, right? And people, they don't quit. They just don't show up for their shifts, and then they just screw everybody over.
That's a problem in restaurants.
And not a cool way to handle it.
No.
I mean, you don't have to give 2 weeks, but give me a week.
Just give them a heads up that, like, you're not showing up. There's nothing. I always feel bad for my father. You know, my dad's a restaurant guy. He's got three restaurant pizzerias and whatever. And, like, when he gets the call that the pizza man didn't show up, like, he's got to get up and go.
Right.
Yeah, he's got to go make the pizza. And I always feel like, why wouldn't you just call? And sometimes it's weird because sometimes they'll just come back.
Right.
Like after a week or two.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you're stuck in that spot, right? You don't want to bring him back, but pizza guy is hard to find,
it's
a good one.
My dad, like, sometimes he takes him back, sometimes he doesn't.
Right.
And it's, I mean, there's been like sagas of pizza guys over decades that like they come and go as they please, you know?
Who knew? Pizza guys got problems.
Pizza guys, like, they are entitled, some of them. They just do
really?
What they want. Nobody says anything to them because it's hard to find a good pizza guy.
It's an art form.
Yes. Marissa, that's all I need to know about you.
If you would rather spend time with your friends than your kids, that's all I need to know about you.
That's a Tracy Chapman song.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's in Fast Car. Come on.
Oh, I don't know. I don't pay that close attention.
See more your friends than you do your kids.
I never understood that. I understand that you need to have time with your friends.
Sure.
Right, and that's an escape. I know, especially for moms, that's a big deal, is to keep your identity and keep yourself and not just, you know, become a parent and that's it. But I will always choose my children over anybody else in my life. Period.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, I think that this is, you know, a guy thing more than a girl thing, right? Because moms, you know, typically they're going to feel exactly the same as you do, right? But, it is important for everybody to have personal time, but you have to carve out the time. It's not the thing you do every day. I'm always amazed at the amount of people that go out every day after work or whatever, and they have kids. Like, there's things to be done at your house. I don't understand how that happens.
I don't understand either. I would like to be able to go to, like, a happy hour one day and just, like, see what it's like. Like, see normal people out, like, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or something.
They'd call the police. You're a structured person. You're reliable. They would call the police.
My wife has been missing for 5 minutes.
Right.
Deanna, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah. If you put broken crayons back in the box, that's all I need to know about you.
Are you throwing your toddler under the bus? That's not nice.
Okay, the toddler actually can get a pass, but if you are over, like, 7 years old, nope, not going to fly.
Wow. Those poor crayons, they still have a purpose.
Right, when I need that color, I just need one little nub of it. I just need one little piece.
Well, they can go in, like, the junky bin, but they don't get to go back into the good box with the good crayons.
That's crazy. That's some crazy talk right there.
Yeah.
You don't belong with the good crayons, you broken one.
Who did this? Okay, Mommy Dearest.
Get ready to be outraged.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't understand why people are so fired up about this.
Say goodbye to a Trader Joe's tradition. The price of bananas going up for the first time in more than 20 years. They've been 19 cents each, but will now be 23 cents.
This was national news everywhere over the last 24 hours. Why are we so mad at Trader Joe's for making bananas 4 cents more after 20 years?
I mean, listen, we get it. Costs are up.
Yes.
But companies make certain promises or things that they're famous for. It's a big deal. It's been going on forever, and it's with multiple companies.
Yeah, but like, it's 4 cents for a banana. It's been the same thing for 20 years. I mean, they're saying now that eggs are so expensive, you can't even color them for Easter on Sunday.
Listen.
But we're
going to
get mad at them for a banana going up by 4 cents?
This sets a precedent, Anna. Mm-hmm. All right? It's 4 cents today. What is it the next time? We don't know. What could it be in a couple of years? You know, we have no idea.
The CEO says, we only change our prices when our costs change. And after holding our price for bananas at 19 cents each, more for the last two decades, we've reached a point where this change is necessary. Yeah, I kind of understand that. It makes sense to me, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oddly enough, bananas is the one fruit, the one thing in general that hasn't been affected that much by inflation over the last 5 years or so. So there's that.
I mean, I know you're a Costco member, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of Costco, that's been all over the news, too, and people are fired up by this.
Costco is locking it down. You'll not have to have a membership to enjoy the beloved food court, including the $1.50 hot dogs. The rule has always been in place, but hasn't been enforced until now.
Mm. Who's the bouncer? That's all I keep thinking about.
They have multiple people. It's out front. And they've actually gotten pretty strict about it. The ones I'm visiting, like, and you notice the change immediately. They also check your card, even when you go self-checkout at this point.
Well, of course they do. So I had, for a long time, we had one credit card. We have a Costco credit card.
Sure.
As I try to convince Raven to get. Mm. Because you get money back. It's like a good deal if you spend a lot of money at Costco.
So I'm executive now, so I'm already getting that back, but I don't have the card.
You get more back with the card. Listen, we'll have that conversation another time. But anyway,
passionate conversation.
I always use my husband's card. So I just had it in my wallet and whenever I would use it. And the guy, I think he thought he was trying to trick me.
Yeah.
He's like, so where's Paul? And I thought he knew my husband.
Right.
I go, oh, he's home. He's mowing the lawn. And he was like, well, you can't use his card. I go, what?
Right.
Yeah, but the whole thing between this $1.50 hot dog is that they're very protective of the $1.50 hot dog.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you knew the history of the hot dog, because I know it.
I do. I do. It's crazy. Basically, the CEO was threatened by one of the co-founders, and it says if you ever raise, and I can't even use the swear word they used, the price of the hot dog, I will kill you. Figure it out.
It was a commitment forever for it to stay $1.50 for this hot dog. And the thing is, the prices got so crazy. This is the wild part about it, that Costco, they were like, we can't do this anymore.
Right.
And the co-founder, as you told the board, listen, you better figure it out. They bought hot dog factories.
Yes.
They got into the hot dog business so they could continue doing this. It's wild.
They sell over 100 million of those hot dogs every single year. 100 million.
I don't love the hot dog, but I'll tell you something. The Sundays. Oh, my gosh. And the chicken bake. I mean, if you're in a hurry and your stomach is tough, chicken bake it.
Turns out there's like a name for this. It's called a loss leader. So when they sell things, they're taking a loss every single time they sell one of those hot dogs. But what it does is it builds customer loyalty.
Right.
And it's one of those things that it's known for, which obviously it works. Everybody knows they got the $1.50 hot dog. But now you got to be a member to get it. Otherwise, the bouncer at the front that checks your receipt is going to kick you right out.
I mean, how embarrassing will that be at the big box store?
Yeah. Do you ever quit something cold turkey? You just woke up one day and you were like, this is it. I'm done with this. I'm better. I'm stronger. I don't need it. And that was the end of it.
You know, in most treatment things, they tell you that, you know, once the decision is made in your mind, that's the most powerful thing that you can do, right?
Yeah.
You can try and do things to make quitting something easier. But once your mind is made up, that's the most powerful tool you have.
I drink a lot of coffee.
Oh.
A lot of coffee. And I said, this is one expensive hobby. you know what? Let's call it what it is. It's an addiction, right? Caffeine addiction.
Okay.
I go, and like, I survive on it. I go, I'm just going to stop drinking coffee. So I go, I'll do it on the weekend. So if I get like a little bit of a headache, I'll work through it. Sunday, I woke up. I said, all right, today's the day. No coffee. I'm very busy today.
Wow.
I did it all day long. And miraculously, I didn't get a headache or anything. And I went to bed that night. And I was like, I made it the whole day without a coffee. And then I started thinking about it. I go, my day wasn't any better because I didn't have a coffee. I was like, and I missed it. I missed it being part of my routine and my comfort of my morning is, you know, make myself a cup. And I said, you know what? Nah, I'm going to have coffee tomorrow and go back to normal.
So you changed your mind.
I failed immediately.
You know, I think that you probably didn't have a headache because you probably had so much caffeine in your body still from the week that it was still in there. Give it a few days.
I wasn't going to let myself find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you give up cold turkey?
Well, I mean, I've given up plenty of things in my life that I ended up going back to. I gave up soda one time for like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And then when I got back to it, like, I mean, it's amazing when you drink it, too. I mean, it's my biggest thing. I gave up cigarettes for many years. I haven't told you. I haven't had a cigarette.
Raven, I don't want to hear it because you have failed at quitting smoking so many times. I told you just to give up on trying to quit.
That's not nice.
I'm tired of having this conversation over and over for a decade. I am. Jason, what did you give up cold turkey?
Two things, kind of sugar and junk food. So the combination, I just went cold turkey about a year ago. And without even trying, I lost around somewhere between 15 and 20 pounds.
Yep.
So anything that contains sugar, and it's a lot, right? Sugar, but even like chips and pretzels. And it took about 3 weeks for the habit to kick in. And I'm 100% honest, I don't miss it at all.
I know a lot of people that are going through the quitting sugar process right now. I know it's a big thing. My doctor actually ran a test on me and I failed it. And she's like, I have some kind of weird sugar allergy.
Hmm.
And she was like, you should cut all sugar out of your diet. And I said, nope.
Like, immediately.
I was like, YOLO.
Figure out something else. Give me a pill, doc.
If I'm going to go down, it's going to be with sugar in my body. You know? Kelly, what did you quit cold turkey?
I quit using Q-tips in my ears because I read the packaging and you're not supposed to do that. So I got scared that I was going to hit my drum or something. So I completely stopped using Q-tips.
From what I understand, that people do get addicted to using Q-tips in their ears and that it's a problem because you're not supposed to do it often because it's not healthy for you.
Right. Yeah. It says on the back of the packaging, it's really just to kind of go, I don't know, for nose or makeup or, you know, clean a baby's maybe, I don't know, something else, but not your whole eardrum.
I know a guy that uses toothpicks in his ears.
What?
Yeah.
And I cringe, but I see him do it often. It's like a weird addiction.
That's terrifying.
Yes.
I mean, I clean my ears every time I get out of the shower.
Well, Q-tips?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that. It's not good for you.
Uh-oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, you're not supposed to. You can like damage your eardrum if you go too far in. I bet you dig in there too.
Probably. Yeah. Oh, I definitely do. With the headphones, I feel like I need to do it all the time.
You don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She quit biting her nails. That was a good call that just came in, too. That's a hard habit to give up.
Because it's always readily available. You don't even realize you're doing it for the most part.
Yeah. What did you give up cold turkey? You can call 1-800-330-9999. I try to give up coffee cold turkey on Sunday. I woke up and said, that's it.
Right.
No longer a coffee drinker. I'm going to drink more water. Guess what? 24 hours later.
That day, you felt like a champion, a powerful person. You know, I can make changes in my life. The next day,
it wasn't even that. During the day, I was like, why am I doing this? This is stupid. Like, I like coffee. Why can't I have coffee? No one told me I can't have coffee. And that was it. But did you succeed? Berto, what did you give up?
Drinking energy drinks, Monster energy drinks.
Wow.
That's a good one to get rid of, though. I've never read a report that said it was good. You know?
Yeah, I was drinking like 2 or 3 a day, and it was one day I was sitting at the dinner table. My daughter was having a problem eating her vegetables, and I was telling her they were healthy, and she was like, "Oh, well, the Monsters are not healthy." So we made an agreement that if I stopped drinking the energy drink, she would eat the vegetables. So
That's a really good agreement.
That's awesome.
Good for you.
Yeah, congratulations on being able to follow through with that. Because if it was my kid, I would just drink it behind her back.
You'd be sneaking them?
Yeah.
That's terrible. Drinking them in your garage or in the parking lot?
She did find one time in my car, and she was like, oh. I was like, oh, it was old. So I had to straighten up.
Heather, what did you quit? Cold turkey.
This may sound weird to people, but I'm like really affectionate with my cats and dogs. So I kiss them on the lips a lot. And, I have one of those kind of devices you put in your mouth and like lick your cat with it. It's like rubber. But I have this new boyfriend and he's like, you know what? First of all, you have to get rid of that cat licking thing. He's like, I won't kiss you. I had to quit that stuff cold turkey. And it's really hard because they're used to me kissing them. And so they come up and they want to kiss me. They want to lick my mouth. But he's absolutely against it.
I
This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I looked it up too. Licky brush.
Look at you. You're disturbed. I can see it in your face.
Well, I mean, this is not. I mean, to each his own.
They love it because they feel like it's kind of like that's how they grew up with their mom licking them.
It's a portable cleaner.
So it just kind of makes them feel more at home. It's like this yellow little rubbery thing.
Oh, I see.
It's not your tongue licking them. It looks like kind of like a rubber brush.
Yes. No, I see it. It's alarming.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Who has a cat? I'm going to buy one of these. Who can we test this on?
I have no cats right now. No cats.
Do John or Sean have cats?
Well, you'll see.
I don't think they. Do you guys have cats?
Does anybody have a cat?
Anybody have a cat?
We're gonna have to get a cat.
Dog guys.
You'll notice that they feel like much more at ease because that's how they were born, with their mom licking them, and so it really does make a difference.
Where are we gonna get a cat to do this?
Sean's brother has a cat. If we send him over there and don't tell his brother just to lick his cat,
I love
that idea.
No, I don't know. If you find out that your brother showed up to your house to lick your cat with a weird lick-em cat brush that I bought on Amazon for $14.99.
You know what? You're right. We might not be brothers anymore.
We have to find somebody Sean! Tell Sean he has to ask his brother if he can go lick his cat.
Sean, you have to ask your brother if you can lick his cat.
No, we'll have a mechanism. We'll have a device. Don't worry.
We'll have an apparatus for your mouth. It'll be fine.
Let me know and I'll order it. All right. Thank you very much.
It's how they grew up. They're going to love it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Earlier this month, we asked you to submit items to the Anna and Raven Roadshow. This is anything you've had around the house. He's always wondered, what is this worth? And joining us now, it's our friend, expert auctioneer Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. Ryan, what did you choose out of the so many that I forwarded to you?
There's so many submissions. Like, some of them were just blurry photos of a painting they found in their attic, and
they're like, make me rich.
I'm like,
I'm rich, right?
No offense if you did that, but I was like, maybe not. This one's from Catherine. She sent in an Armour's Army Navy calendar from 1899. Armour's is a meat company. Think hot dogs, right? Armour hot dogs.
Okay, yeah.
So in 1899, they were advertising their prepackaged meats, and they put together a calendar for the year with attractive men in army uniforms.
Perfect.
And attractive women in exactly the dress you would suppose for 1899.
Yeah, I'm looking at these pictures right now.
Like, I don't know that dress, but
I'll show you. Hold on.
Oh yeah.
It's like what you think, like the high neck white shirts with like it looks like a tie for women, you know what I'm talking about. And then the full skirts on the bottom.
Oh, Baywatch then. Okay,
no,
right.
The opposite of Baywatch.
Yeah.
Think Downton Abbey.
Yes.
That's what you're thinking.
And hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is around the time of the Spanish-American War, and this is a prime example of illustration art. So art that was made for products and advertising by real artists. Think James Flagg, you know, Uncle Sam, George Linedecker. And every image on here is this idyllic late 19th century couples in love.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an advertising calendar, they made a lot of them. A lot of them got saved because it was beautiful art. And average prices are probably in the $50 to $200 range for something like this. In my research, though, I found one that must have just been contested at auction. It sold for as much as $600.
Wow.
For six sheets of paper.
You know, I mean, that's quite something. I have to tell you, honestly, when I think of something being, you know, around for more than 120 years, I would think that would have, you know, accumulated some more cost than that. But like you said, I mean, I guess the fact that there's so many of them out there, you have to take into account, right? There's always one readily available.
Are calendars in general collectible items? I never once thought to keep a calendar.
I have one right now, 2024. It's 18 month and it's all sloths. All right.
Ooh.
It's really nice. If I hold on to that for 120 years.
It should be worth at least a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says $3.99 on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So maybe not investment quality, but.
Oh. All right.
But are calendars collectible?
So 19th century calendars, yes. A lot of it has to do with the purpose they were made for. Advertising calendars were a huge business. So like my mother has one from the dairy in the town where she grew up, and it's enormous. It's like 2 feet wide. It's got a girl feeding an apple to a cow, and it shows the dairy underneath. She had it framed. It's beautiful. It's art, and it's history, and it's advertising, so it's cross-collectible, that space you want to be in when you have something that you want to sell.
Did iPhones kill the calendar? I feel like I used to have a calendar growing up my whole life hanging in my room, and I would never go buy a calendar now, right?
Thanks a lot, Steve Jobs.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have more with Ryan coming up next. Earlier this month, you sent in all your submissions, things you found around the house. You were wondering what it's worth. And joining us, it's Ryan Brecklin. He's an expert auctioneer from Nest Egg Auctions. Ryan, what did you select?
So this, I like to do some sports collectibles from time to time. It's a hot area right now. Good autographs, rare baseball cards. The market's great. This is from Jill. She sends in a 2002 autographed Derek Jeter bat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She might have slept over his house.
Isn't that a thing? I heard that they... Now, this is a rumor, okay. And I don't know if it's true. And Ryan, I don't know if you can confirm this as an ex-productioneer, but I heard that sometimes he would give like parting gifts in the morning when the ladies would leave. That there would be like gift bags.
Right.
I haven't actually seen anything like that, but
yeah.
I think that's a hold and sell later type item.
I would love to see one of those on eBay.
In my mind, it's always been a mini bat. You know, like when you buy the huge, it's like a,
yes.
It's a small bat, but it's actually a pen. It's the largest ballpoint pen you've ever seen.
Okay.
Right. And it only lasts like three days, and then it dries out.
Mm-hmm. You might be telling that story to your kids. Mommy got this from Derek Jeter.
It was a wild night at the club. All right, so we have an actual 2002 autograph. You said it was a bat?
Yeah, I was excited. I'm like, oh, an autographed bat. I can look in to find out what they are. Well, this is called a signature bat. It's not actually autographed. It has his signature burned in with a laser.
Mm-hmm. What?
And they gave them out on Bat Day at the stadium in 2002.
She didn't even like Derek Jeter.
She's
like, oh, I'm going to hold on to this. It just stayed in the corner of the house. And now she's like, I'm going to sell this.
Aww.
So it's not actually autographed by him. If I wanted to buy one today, I could go on eBay. There's 5 for sale. And the lowest price is $186 in mint condition.
Okay.
So this one said it was signed by him on Bat Day, but you're saying no, it wasn't. Like, this is just like, she's just lying. She's not telling the truth.
Yeah, I don't know if this one was actually signed. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looked like somebody maybe took this one out in the backyard and played with it a little bit.
If you have a real autographed bat by Derek Jeter, do you take it out in the backyard?
I mean, when I was a kid, I played with my autographed Daryl Strawberry ball and ruined it.
That was dumb. So if it was actually autographed and you had Derek Jeter's original signature on a bat, how much would that be worth?
I don't know. A game-used bat, it could be thousands.
Right. I mean, if it was used by Derek Jeter.
Right. And if it hit a significant home run or came from a
huge play,
an important game, the sky's the limit on those.
Right.
So sports memorabilia in general, if you're a collector, what would you say holds the most value and it's where you should go if you want to collect sports stuff?
I would get pre-1970, big names, authenticated autographs in the best condition you could find.
That's the big thing, right, is you have to be able to prove it.
So I had a client bring in a 1929 Babe Ruth and team-signed ball when they did an exhibition game in Hartford. And we sent it out for authentication. Every signature came back right. It was completely authenticated. That's about a $12,000 ball today.
Wow.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
The coolest mammals on the planet. There can be only one. Who will be the champion? It's Anna and Raven's Mammal Madness.
While the rest of the country is watching basketball and the Sweet 16 and whatever, here we have one job. One job only is for you to determine what is the greatest mammal of all time.
I mean, I want you to think about it. What that really encompasses, right? Some of the coolest animals on the planet are mammals, obviously. But, you know, how do you pick just one?
So the Elite Eight is what we started with. And you can see the entire bracket and all the teams playing on AnnaAndRaven.com. So far, making it to the Final Four next week, Narwhal and orangutan.
Mm.
But today we have a huge matchup.
Yeah, this is absolutely massive right here. You know, sometimes you have to question yourself, is a name just a name, Anna? And today, is it the goat because you're a goat, or is it a goat because you're the greatest of all time?
Yes, the fifth seed, goat. Let's learn more about them.
Fainting goats aren't actually fainting. They remain conscious the whole time. But thanks to a hereditary genetic disorder, their muscles fail to relax after contracting. This condition is set off when they're panicked or scared.
I mean, that's amazing.
Wait a minute. Do all goats faint?
No, just the fainting ones.
Well, how about all the other goats that are awesome goats?
They're awesome. You want to know something cool about them?
Yeah.
They have eyes on the side of their head. They can basically see all the way around, 360.
What is a goat's... purpose?
To eat.
Oh.
Do goat stuff. Walk around.
I like
goat milk, goat cheese.
I like when the goats scream.
Yeah, screaming goats. Are the screaming goats the same as the fainting goats?
No, they can't stay awake that long.
Turns out we didn't learn a lot here. But no. I do like goats, and I want to be very clear about that.
All right, so who do you think should win today? The goat? Because they're up against the number 4th seed, the rhino.
Oh, my gosh.
The rhinoceros gets its name from a word meaning nose horn. There are 5 different species of rhinoceros in the world. The white rhino, which is the largest, may grow as long as 13 feet or 4 meters. Rhinos are herbivores and eat mostly leaves. Rhinoceroses love to wallow in mud.
They love it. I love rhinos, too. They're big and scary.
What is their purpose? I don't know.
Right, kind of run stuff. I mean, and listen, when they were putting together creatures, they weren't like, everybody's got to serve a purpose. Not everybody had to have a job.
I like the fact that rhinos kind of look like dinosaurs. To me, they're like the closest to dinosaurs we're going to get in real life that we can see with our own eyes.
Yeah, that alligators, you know, crocodiles, right? If an alligator was hanging out with a rhinoceros, I mean, that's a pair of dinosaurs right there.
Do you know on Instagram right now at Anna and Raven, they are tied 50-50% for votes?
That's not fair. Somebody get on there and vote right now.
We only have a couple minutes to decide who should move to the Final Four, and we need your votes. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Is it the goat or is it the rhino?
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
The coolest mammals on the planet. There can be only one. Who will be the champion? It's Anna and Raven's Mammal Madness.
All right. Here we go. We've got a big matchup today. While the entire country is watching basketball, we are trying to figure out what is the greatest mammal that's ever lived.
You know, I just got to be real with you here, Anna. When we get to the end like this, it's so powerful for me emotionally. Every day is a huge day.
Yep. It's the Elite Eight. We're looking for the Final Four. In the Final Four already, narwhal and orangutan. Today's matchup. The 5th seed goat versus the 4th seed rhino. We've been calculating and counting all these votes, and now it's up to you. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999.
Hi, it's Marianne. We're on our way to school. We're voting for the rhino.
Oh, I know. It's kind of heartbreaking. It is a great mammal, but yeah. It's a little bit heartbreaking to me. I'm not going to lie.
Why is it heartbreaking?
I love goats.
Yeah.
I want one of those fainting goats.
But rhinos are so cool and majestic.
Well, my daughter likes one of those little fainting goats, too, but my granddaughter's supposed to be in the car, and we're voting rhino. I have no trace of the matter.
All right, let's check the text line. Rhino, rhino, goat, rhino, rhino, definitely rhinoceros. Goat, rhino. Rhinos win all the way. Goats are fine, but rhinos are better. Fine. Goats are fine.
There's no reason to get rid of them, but rhinoceros is still cooler. Oh, that's hurtful.
Fun fact, rats have belly buttons and can laugh. Rats are not being debated right now, sir.
I love the fact that people want to share, though.
Rhinos are the coolest. All right, let me calculate it really quick. And the social media, I got to add. Oh, I hate when they make me do adding. Okay, it looks like rhino is going on to the Final Four. And tomorrow, we've got another big matchup.
How could it be bigger than a rhinoceros?
Is it going to be a cheetah or an anteater? You'll decide. It's a big weekend for Easter candy. So much chocolate. I can't wait to just dive in. Joining us, it's Carly Childhouse from National Confectioners Association. You can find them online at candyusa.com. Carly, what's your favorite Easter candy?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. It's hard to pick a favorite. I know I say that kind of every time. It's hard to pick a favorite, but I think I've got to go with marshmallow treats, like a peep or something to that effect.
Carly, it always surprises me, the ones that you pick. You're kind of old school with your candy. You know, like I remember on Valentine's Day, you love the hearts. Like, you're old school.
I do. I love all the classics, I think is the way to put it. But I have a controversial take. For me personally, I like a peep that's been left out, sitting out for a couple of days. I like a stale peep.
What? Why?
I think it's a textural thing.
Both my daughters absolutely love peeps.
Really?
And I just don't understand the allure of them. I feel like they're just like a sugary, gooey mess, but I guess to each his own.
It's like a sugar bomb.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, I've enjoyed them the most. It's the most difficult to get it in your mouth without making a complete mess. But if you put it in the microwave for about 15 seconds, ooh, it's nice.
Those the mini Cadbury chocolate eggs, the ones that have the sugar covering, the minute they show up in the stores, I can't stop. Like, this Sunday has to come and go because I can't put any more in my mouth.
Right, you know? Carly, I feel like you had a lot of sweets growing up, and that's kind of your love affair with these older, you know, style stuff.
Chocolate and candy have been a part of my family celebrations for so long. I think most Americans agree with that and think that there's a really strong connection for people, myself included, between the treats that they know and love growing up and different celebrations and all of the kind of happy memories that they're associated with. So, yeah, I agree.
Carly, one of our coworkers came up to us and she offered, brace yourself for this, pickle-flavored jelly beans.
I tried one.
Did you try one, Raven?
It stuck with me for like 20 minutes.
Yep. Ew.
Yeah.
How does the National Confectioners Association feel about all these jelly beans that they're making into these gross flavors and then tricking you to eat them?
I mean, that's innovation right there. You know, we saw a lot of pickle flavoring last year and into this year. So it's right on trend. People are really excited about the different ways that companies are, you know, playing with flavors. We did ask Americans for their favorite jelly bean flavors. I'm happy to tell you what they are. Spoiler that pickle is not on here yet, but we'll have to see maybe for next year. But this probably won't be a surprise. Number one is strawberry. Two is cherry. Three is grape. Four, lemon. Five is licorice.
Oh.
With 10% of people saying that they like that. And then that 6% of people say other. So pickle might actually fall into that category.
Whenever I hear people say they like licorice, I think it's a mistake.
It's polarizing.
I'm like, well, oh, gosh, why?
It definitely is. But, you know, they are there, obviously.
And you know what I'm about to say, which is that I love licorice.
You're just an anarchist. Really? I mean, seriously.
Yes. All right. So you're unwrapping a chocolate bunny. What are you eating first, the tushy, the ears, or its face?
You know, this is a big debate. Most people go ears first. 78% of people go ears first. 16% of people start with the feet, and then just 6% of people go for that tail.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's about ease of operation here. You know what I mean? You grab it by the feet, you stick the ear in your mouth, you rip it off.
You're right on track with most Americans.
Carly, as always, thank you so much for taking the time. National Confectioners Association, you can find them online at candyusa.com.
Thank you so much for having me, and happy Easter.
What couple?
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and... you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
How much money are you willing to spend to make your 14-year-old daughter happy on her birthday? Monica and Jonathan joining us. Monica, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I have a teenage daughter. Well, my husband and I have a teenage daughter who is turning 14 this weekend. And she has one special request, and that is to go see Olivia Rodrigo in concert. I think she deserves it. So tickets are selling on the resale market for over $600 each for not the greatest of seats, but I say just buy a pair. She can take a friend, and I'll just sit outside and wait for her.
Jonathan, you're against paying $1,200 for stinky seats to see Olivia Rodrigo where your 14-year-old's going to go into an arena by herself?
Yeah, it's crazy. First of all, it's way too much money. You know, like we need to instill, you know, lesson here. Like it doesn't make sense. It's way too much. And also she's too young to be going to a concert alone. Like that's the other thing. You know, I do understand that we can wait outside, but inside the venue, a million things can happen and I'm just not comfortable doing it. It's too risky. It's too scary.
Seems like there's two major points here. One is that the tickets are very expensive, and two is 14 years old, too young to be going into a concert by yourself at an arena.
Yeah, I went to my first concert with my mom right about that age, 14 or 15, my mom went.
With your mom,
right?
It's different.
And I get it. You're standing outside, and they have a cell phone, and you go over the rules. There's two of them. You know, it's a tough choice on that. But $1,200 is a whole lot of money. It really is.
She deserves it. I'm so sorry. She's such a mature 14, and she's gone through so much. I mean, even COVID, like, she didn't really get to celebrate birthdays. So this is, like, her first kind of big celebration. I think she can handle it. The venue's very safe looking. There's, like, a clear bed policy. I don't have any concerns. Her?
I mean, it's not the bag policy, it's the people. But
I think it's all of it. Yeah. I think all of it. What it comes down to is $1,200 for your 14-year-old daughter for her birthday to go to a concert. Is that okay? Would you do it?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I would go. I'd be like, you're going, but I'm going with you. Right. Two of us are going. But,
I mean, it's
going
to be a great concert.
We're going to have so much
fun. She's awesome.
Would you pay for your daughter's 14th birthday to send her to go see Olivia Rodrigo if those tickets were going to cost $1,200? And would you let her go into the arena by herself with her friend?
Mm.
So Monica and Jonathan are going through right now. Monica says it's the only thing she wants. It's the only thing she wants for her birthday. She's turning 14. It's a special thing. I'll sit outside the arena. We'll get the two tickets, which, you know, it's resale price at this point. $600 right. a seat.
Huge.
Yeah. And Jonathan just thinks out of principle, nope.
Well, I mean, there's a couple different things here. As you mentioned, the price is huge, right? And he's like, listen, she's at an age now where she needs to understand that, you know, not everything just comes all that easy. Mm-hmm. This is something for, you know, her to learn. At the same time, this is also her first concert experience. She's never been in before with them, nor been alone. So that's a lot.
What do you think?
But it's also awesome.
It's all,
imagine running in
yeah.
for your first concert and it's Olivia Rodrigo sold out. Everybody's trying to get in those doors. What a memory. What a memory.
I know. 1-800-330-9999.
Wish it was mine.
Chris, whose side are you on?
I went to my first concert at 14 and I lied to my parents about it and everything went cool. But, you know, something could have went wrong. So I don't think 14 is too young. And I wish that I had the outlet to be honest with my mother about going.
Mm.
However, $1,200 is insane. So that's why I would probably say no.
It is nuts, right? They build this anticipation of like, yeah. you got to go now. You'll never go. And of course, when you're a teenager, you feel like all that is real. It feels incredibly real. Right.
It's harder yeah, for kids absolutely. To sneak into concerts now because they don't have $1,200 to buy the tickets.
Right. Thanks
for that is very true.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. If your 14-year-old daughter, the only thing she wanted for her birthday, she was turning 14, was to see Olivia Rodrigo. But those tickets on the resale right now are going to cost you $1,200, $600 a piece. Would you let her go and would you let her go with a friend while you waited outside the arena?
Yeah, it's a big decision, right? Monica says, listen, she's 14. I will just sit in the car. She'll be safe. She'll have her cell phone. We'll go over the rules. It'll be all right. But Jonathan's like, first off, this is a huge amount of money. She needs to understand that things just aren't, you know, they don't come freely like that. And he's very suspect about sending her into her first concert experience alone.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Amber, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I think, you know what, if they have the money, and she could do it. You know, I went to my first concert, and I remember it. And my mother took me at 14. So it was great. As long as she's responsible, I think she should totally, she deserves it.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, that's kind of the caveat, right? Like people say, you should go in.
Yeah.
Right.
Frank, what do you think?
You know what? I'm on the mother's side with the stipulation that I think it's okay to spend the money because it's a great memory. But I think the mother to take her and go in with her, not a friend.
I'm actually with you, Frank. Like, I think that you make moments like that, like your YOLO moments with your kids and your family, and like it's a lot of money. And but if you could figure out a way to afford it, you're giving them a memory forever. But I would go. I don't know if I would let her go by herself.
Hey, Robin, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on his side. I think it's too much money and alone in the arena and no.
All right. You know, you don't understand when you're younger really how much financial has an impact, right? But you do, kind of, too, right? Because you hear your parents talking about it, and you see the things that your family goes through.
Yeah, I always tell my daughter, like, your job is both, well, the little one, whatever, my 15-year-old. And I always say, like, you don't worry about money. Mommy and daddy worry about money. You worry about school. But now that she's getting older and she's 15, she needs to understand
right.
how much things cost, you know, and start getting a firm grasp on reality of how these things work.
It's a valid point.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Monica, our audience agreed with you. If this is all that she really wants and you want to make her happy
yes.
and financially it's not going to devastate you, then the audience said sometimes you just got to do these things for your kids.
Thank you, people. Yes, I knew I wasn't going crazy. I mean, she just deserves it, and we can definitely afford it. It's a special occasion. Thank you.
Monica, though, everybody thinks that you should be going to the show with your daughter.
Right, that she's too young, 14 years old, to go into an arena like that by herself for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. The memory will be incredible, too.
Right. Something you could share.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a bummer. I don't know. What can I say? I mean, I hope she enjoys it.
Well, you've got free reign to go to Metallica now. It's about the same cost.
All right. If you have cool. a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCore@annaandRaven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,100. Try New Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in 14 days. 5 luxurious scents available online and in stores near you. Marilyn, you know your stuff?
I hope so.
All right, let's do it. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, will you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck. $2,100.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
A lot of money on the line. All right, Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. He's out in the hallway. I'm going to ask you these 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each of them. He'll come back in. He gets the same questions, Marilyn. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Number one, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett are shutting down their charitable foundation. And one reason is that donations dropped 83% after Will slapped Chris Rock at what award show?
The Oscars.
Number two, Keith Urban is joining the current season of The Voice as a mega mentor. For the first time, there's a duo on the judges panel. Who are they?
Dan and Shay.
Number three, it's opening day for the MLB new baseball season. Who won the World Series last year in 2023?
San Francisco.
Number four, 81-year-old Judge Judy keeps her vessel in shape and looking good. She says she works out every day with her 90-year-old husband, 10 hours a week. What's Judge Judy's last name?
I don't know.
And number five, Steven Spielberg thinks Dune Part 2 is one of the most brilliant science fiction films he's ever seen. He also says Timothée Chalamet riding a sandworm is one of the greatest scenes ever. Who is Timothée Chalamet dating?
But I don't know.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. Where'd he go? Raven!
Yo.
2 out of 5 for Marilyn.
Okay, not great. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett are shutting down their charitable foundation. One reason is that donation dropped by 83% after Will slapped Chris Rock at what award show?
I was at the Oscars.
Yeah, sad though. Good work.
Yeah, I mean, everything has consequences. And I don't think it's just that slap. I think it's kind of both of them.
Well, I also find it very funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's eye-opening that a lot of the times when Jada Pinkett opens up a center, she does it in Tupac's name.
Yeah.
I know. It's a little bit weird, right?
I think people are over them. I really do.
Number two, Keith Urban is joining the current season of The Voice as a mega mentor. And for the first time, there's a duo on the judges panel. Who are they?
It's Dan and Shay, right?
Yes. Number three, do you know their chairs weigh 900 pounds, the ones that turn around? It's
really?
A specially designed chair for the two of them. Who has to carry that in?
I would imagine it's on wheels.
Right. Number three, it's opening day for MLB new baseball season. Who won the World Series last year in 2023?
Gosh, was it the Dodgers last year?
No, Texas Rangers.
Oh.
Number four, 81-year-old Judge Judy keeps her vessel in shape and looking good. She works out every day with her 90-year-old husband for a total of 10 hours a week.
It's impressive.
What's Judge Judy's last name?
Scheinblum.
Scheinblum.
Shine, yeah.
Close enough. Yeah.
Shine something.
Scheinblum. Number five, Steven Spielberg thinks Dune Part 2 is one of the most brilliant science fiction films he's ever seen.
That's quite a comment.
Yep. He also says that Timothée Chalamet riding a sandworm is one of the greatest scenes ever.
Also,
who is Timothée Chalamet dating?
Kylie Jenner,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. All right, Marilyn, he beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Okay, thank you. It's Marilyn and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,200 tomorrow, Anna.
Thanks.